Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Are you all well?
Yes, thank you.
Good, good. Well, welcome to the Parish Church of Water Orton. If you're on Zoom, very warm welcome to you as well. We will be celebrating Holy Communion this morning. I need to give a few notices. So we had our concert of local talent last night. It happens once a year and it was wonderful. We saw a 6-year-old play her first probably piece in public, and some people a little older.
And we saw a 5-year-old.
Did we see a 5-year-old?
Micah.
Oh, Micah is only 5 and he played. So well done to you, Micah. And we raised £260 so far. £290 now. Anybody got a tenner on them?
I'm sure you do, Paul.
So we've raised £290. Oh, we've got a tenner. £300. And it's going to support our sister church, St Andrews, in developing their music. This week, on Tuesday, I managed to get Kim and Kayla to sign up for another 12 months. And so they were officially made wardens for the next 12 months. So thank you. And then yesterday, Alan was priested, meaning he can now preside, and he'll be presiding at our service this morning and leading. So well done to Alan.
Let me add my own warm welcome to everyone here and on Zoom. Yesterday was a very special day. I just want to say thank you for all the prayer and support that I had yesterday and throughout this journey, which, as some of you know, has been a little bit circuitous at times. But the Lord has brought me to this point, and there's the evidence of it. And it's just so encouraging to know when the Lord leads you to a place. And that my prayer is that that will be the same for each and every one of you here today. Wherever he calls you, that you will listen to him and the prompting of the Holy Spirit in that. Just a practical point for communion later. Can I ask if there's anyone who is gluten-free? Thank you. Sorted. Thank you very much. Let's open in prayer. O Lord, risen, alive, and full of grace, you paid such a price that we may live in freedom today. We worship your holy name and give thanks for your redeeming grace. Heavenly Father, may we drink in your tender love so that we can pour this love out to others. Come reign in our hearts, minds, and spirits. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to blow through our every word, action, and thought. Come transform us on the inside so that each day we may become more like our risen Lord. Amen. And we seek to be a welcoming church, so let us say this prayer together. Father, lead us and guide us as we grow together in your family. May our church show your love to new friends, and may more hearts be full of your love. Amen. Our opening worship song, please stand if you're able. Christ is my reward and all of my devotion.
Christ is my reward.
Please take a seat. Well, I just want to pray for the young people and their leaders as they go out to their groups. Lord, we pray that you will inspire the leaders, Lord. May the Holy Spirit be there. May the young people learn more of you, of your call on their lives for them. Amen. Go and have a great time, kids, and we'll see you later for communion. Come to a time of confession. So let us just quieten our hearts and our minds. Let us think back on the last week, or maybe longer. Let the Lord show us something about which we need to say sorry. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that you are with us throughout our lives. We thank you for those who over the generations have walked with you in faith, responding courageously to whatever they have faced, even when afraid and bewildered. Help us also to walk with you, willing to commit ourselves to follow you, even to a cross. Merciful God, forgive us when we would rather put ourselves first, when we prefer to follow our own inclinations or those of the crowd, watering down our faith, seeking our own ends. Lord Jesus, we remember that you were tempted just as we are, yet you chose to journey all the way to the cross for the world's sake. Forgiving Lord, touch our lives and grant us all courage, a deep faith, and the ability to journey with you, whatever happens. Amen. Amen. So now let us declare our faith in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ as we say together, Christ died for our sins. In accordance with the scriptures, he was buried. He was raised to life on the third day, in accordance with the scriptures. Afterwards, he appeared to his followers and to all the apostles. This we have received, and this we believe. Amen. We now come to a series of three worship songs. Please feel free to be comfortable, so to stand or sit as the Spirit leads you.
Thank you.
Please be seated for our reading.
The reading is Galatians chapter 6, starting to read from verse 1. My brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in any kind of wrongdoing, those of you who are spiritual should set him right. But you must do it in a gentle way. And keep an eye on yourselves, so that you too will not be tempted too. Help to carry one another's burdens, and in this way you will obey the law of Christ. If someone thinks he or she is somebody, when really they are nobody, they are only deceiving themselves. You should each judge your own character. If it is good, then you can be proud of what you yourself have done, without having to compare it with what someone else has done. For we each have our own load to bear, to carry. Those who are being taught the Christian message should share all the good things they have with their teachers. Do not deceive yourselves. No one makes a fool of God. People will reap exactly what they sow. If they sow in the field of their natural desires, from it they will gather the harvest of death. If they sow in the field of the Spirit, from the Spirit they will gather the harvest of eternal life. So let us not become tired of doing good, for if we do not give up, the time will come when we'll reap the harvest. So then, as often as you have the chance, we should do good to everyone, and especially to those who belong to our family in the faith. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Just as an aside, you know, when we do a baptism at the font, we have a stone, and Catherine's bought Ephah stone this morning, so we'll put that in the font. Baptised on the 25th of May. Let me say a quick prayer for Ephah before I start. Lord Jesus Christ, it is our prayer that what Catherine knows Jesus to be her Saviour, that one day Eva will declare her faith too in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then there'll be great rejoicing in heaven. Amen. And now let me pray for you. You've got to listen to me. Father, I pray you bless all of us now. I pray you bless myself, Lord. I need you if I'm going to witness to your glory. And I pray you bless all of us, Lord, that we would receive what you want us to receive. Amen. So, in the closing verses of chapter 5, Paul has contrasted the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And there's a warning there in chapter 5. If we live according to the flesh, we will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then you've got that famous verse in chapter 5, haven't you? Where Paul writes, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But what's it look to live a life characterized in this way? And that is the subject matter of chapter 6. Verses 1 to 5 is really about how we relate to each other as Christians. And then verses 6 to 10 is that thorny issue of how we handle our money. Verse 1. Paul advises us how we should conduct ourselves when we see a brother or sister caught in sin. As I reflect on that verse for myself, I don't think I'm very good at challenging people. And I think it's a bit of an English issue, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? For most of us. But maybe we do need to be a bit more challenging. And I'm going to suggest how we do that based on the reading. Elsewhere, the scripture says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. So I think there, if you put those verses together, you've got the sense sometimes when someone sins against you or does something wrong, you let it go. That's my sense of that. A love covers a multitude of sins. But other times, we need to challenge our brother and sister in love. That should always be our motivation. If you are speaking to someone out of anger, you're probably sinning. I'm going to say that. You are sinning. I'm almost sure. If you are speaking to someone out of pain and hurt, you're probably sinning. My advice would to be this: only challenge that person when you can do it in love for their best, when you've got them in your heart. So if you see a believer trapped in a sin, living with a sin, and I'm not talking about a misstep here which you might overlook, but living in a particular sin, you've reflected on it, prayed about it, and then you decide you need to speak to them. What should you do? Well, in his answer, Paul says, what should be done? Who should do it? And finally, how it should be done. What should be done? We want to see the person in sin restored. They may not be aware that they're trapped in a kind of sin, particularly if it's a kind of thought process. We want them to be illuminated so they can be restored. Who should do it? Spiritual Christians. Those who are genuinely led by the Spirit, who have the maturity to deal with sin in others. How should we do it? With gentleness. Gently, in love. We want the best for them. In humility, conscious that however spiritual we might be, we're not above sin, are we? We're not above temptation. And we might be challenging them about sin that we're about to commit. Can you be sure? About 10 years ago, someone from this church challenged me. And I've got to say, I think they had read this passage of scripture, because they did it so beautifully, so gently. And that made it easier for me to receive. Of course. We challenge each other out of a sense of love, wanting the best for them. Verse 2. In terms of our relating well, Paul now says, carry each other's burdens. Help each other share the load. Perhaps a Christian struggling with temptation to sin. Perhaps another Christian who's laid low and depressed. The law of Christ. I think that's a reference to the Gospel of John, where Jesus says, "A new command I give to you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." I'm sure many of you will echo this in this church. But over the years, I have been so blessed to be supported by Christians in this church and the wider world. I might not embarrass anybody here, but I've known a lady for 25 years now, a lady called Jane, who's a bit of a spiritual mentor to me. Partly her fault I'm here today. But she's always available. She listens to me, she cares for me, she loves me, she wants for my best. And I can remember phoning her up 20 odd years ago, and I was on a right date. And she just prayed for me over the phone, and something remarkable happened, a miracle. It was transformative. Which reminds me also of the prayer of a spiritual Christian. Verse 3. If you're going to relate well, I think it helps to see yourself in the right light. See yourself as you are. Paul is warning about thinking of ourselves more importantly than we are. And how many Christians make that mistake? I'm sure we've all made it at times ourselves. That's so easy to tip into pride, isn't it? It's a very natural human sin. The implication seems to be, the way he's phrased this, is that the Christian fails to help another one because they think they're above it. That is to deceive yourself. We must relate to each other out of a sense of humility. Now, Paul warns against comparing ourselves to others. Another, very easy to sin, commit, isn't it? And that can work in two ways. The one sense, oh, I'm so good, I'm better than them, I'm doing really well. Well, that can lead to the conceit he's just warned us about. And then we have the other side of it, the negative side. I'm useless, I'm unable to do anything, everyone is better than me. Well, that kind of attitude is not going to help, is it? It's not going to help you achieve the work the Lord has in mind for you, if you think like that. Each of you sitting here today, every single one of you, has a task from the Lord that he has given you alone. And you are responsible to do it for the Lord. Keep your eyes on the Lord, not on other Christians. And isn't it? I'm sure most of you will echo that. Is it not such a fruitless, foolish, stupid exercise to compare yourselves to others? It can be extremely demoralizing. It can be a gateway to other sins, like selfish ambition. God has prepared works for you to do, which are unique to you. Do those works to the best of your ability, and you can sit back and think, job well done. Regardless of the work God has given you, regardless of who you are, you have as much potential to please your Father in heaven as anybody else. You don't need to be a vicar, or a bishop, or an archbishop. I can please God as much as the Archbishop of Canterbury, or the Pope. Let's not debate it. Verses 6 to 10, I'm just going to look at the first verse. But in this section, Paul applies the life of the Spirit in a practical way, the use of money. James Boyce, this is so true. Few things more clearly disclose the priorities of the heart than this. Isn't that true? Certainly from a Western viewpoint, where we're relatively rich, certainly in this country. Now, I don't have an issue with Christians being wealthy. That's fine. But we need to recognise that the more wealth we have, the more temptation we know, and the harder it is to have a rightful attitude towards our money. And that, if I'm honest, that's my experience. It's challenging. And then we've got this verse 6 here. Let the one who is taught, that's all of you today, the word, share all his good things with the teacher. So I'm going to pass a bowl round. Elsewhere we're told the worker deserves his wages. So I want to thank you to those of you who contribute generously to this church. Paul is saying in this passage that that is a witness to your spirituality, to your Christian maturity. So thank you. This morning, I've got one of these watches, and this verse appeared on my watch, a Bible verse. It's amazing, isn't it? I tried to look it up in the first service, but my phone's in the car, so it won't. So I'm going to look it up in the Bible. Probably a better place. But I thought it was very apt, given what I was preaching on. Romans 8, verse 6. To be controlled by human nature results in death. So be controlled by the Spirit, resulting in life and peace. Brothers and sisters, I do pray that increasingly so, we will live spiritual lives, that will be demonstrated in our relationships and in how we handle our money, but in all of our lives. When we do this well, we please our Father in heaven. We glorify our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me close in a prayer. Father God, I want this for me, and I want it for all my brothers and sisters here. We want to see a greater demonstration of spirituality in our lives, Lord. We pray you help us to do that in our conduct, in our relationships, in our attitude towards money, in all of our lives. Amen. Alan was priested yesterday, and I know it's his intention and desire to live spiritually, because he wants to be right with God, but he also wants to be a blessing to this church, as do I, as does Peter. What we're going to do now? We're going to worship the Lord. And we're going to take the offering for the church.
Lord, we thank you for all your good gifts. Use these and use us to your service. Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for Alan and his colleagues who were priested at the cathedral yesterday. We also pray for those who were made deacons and newly ordained clergy all around the country. We come before you with hearts full of gratitude for the newly ordained clergy. We thank you for their commitment to serve and lead your people. Bless them with wisdom, courage, and unwavering faith as they embark on this sacred journey. Lord, grant them the strength to face challenges with grace and humility, to seek your guidance in all they do. Fill their hearts with compassion and love, so that they may be a beacon of hope and comfort to those in need. May your Holy Spirit guide their words and actions, inspiring them to spread your message of peace and salvation. Protect them from doubt and fear, and surround them with a supportive community that uplifts and encourages them. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, as we are gathered together in love and fellowship, please hear us as we bring before you our cares and fears for the world. Everlasting God, we pray for your church throughout the world, for Christians everywhere meeting to worship and praise you today. Grant that we and all your people may be built up into the united and faithful family you deserve. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy God, we pray for Christians working in places of power and influence, who make decisions which affect the lives of so many people. We ask you to bless those who work in politics, especially all who are seeking peace agreements, but also those in the media, in advertising, and in the financial markets. May they know what to say and how to act for the benefit of all people, and at all times to be true and faithful to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father God, we pray for those we love, our family and friends, the special people in our lives, wherever they may be. We pray for them as they deal with their hopes, their fears, their problems, and their needs. But most of all, we thank you for each one of them and for what they give and mean to us. In a moment of silence, thank God for a family member or friend. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving Father, we bring before you now all those we know who are in need of your healing. Especially we pray for those affected by the devastating floods in Texas. And we bring before you those on our prayer list today. Kayla and Peter. Peter Hyde. Sheila Coyle. Jasmine. Julie Chiswick's daughter, Charlotte, Ted and Mary, Derek's brother, Alan, Trixie and Malcolm, Comfort the bereaved, the sick and the suffering with your healing and living presence. In a moment of silence, please bring before God anyone on your heart today. Restore and support weak bodies, quiet confused minds, and reassure the lonely with your love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Eternal God, we pray for your wisdom and guidance in the coming weeks to look and listen to the hearts of the people we meet and hear. Help us to remember that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we have put before you our concerns, and we thank you for all the blessings and gifts you lavish on us. In the weeks ahead, help us to keep the faith as deeply and passionately as possible in these troubled times. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ you shared our life that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. On the night he was betrayed, at supper with his friends, he took bread and gave you thanks. Thank you, Lord. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks. And said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. As we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit, that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord. With your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice and praise, and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. We say together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The body of Christ broken for you.
Amen.
The blood of Christ shed for you.
to our final song of worship this morning. I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. Please stand if you're able.
Thank you.
welcomes us with open arms. As the children of God, we take his love into the world, that others may also rejoice and be part of his family. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you and remain with you always. Amen.
Amen.
Please do join us for refreshments and further fellowship next door. So one notice, I did fail to give at the beginning. This afternoon at 4 o'clock, if any of you are free and looking for more opportunity to hear of anything from God, there is a production of Zach, Roger Jones's new musical, at St Clement's Church in Castle Bromwich. If you want to know more, please have a word with myself or Sue. But thank you for joining us this morning, and blessing you.